song. Gute Herr bitte.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style, and I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cezanne. Cezanne.
Cezanne. Cezanne. Father of cubism. Good morning. And I guess we're on the air at this point. And there's old Emily in there. And Emily is the producer this morning. The young and beautiful Emily. And I have with me Kelly Pennington this morning. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
Thanks a lot for being here on this cold, gray morning.
Oh, it's lovely to be inside.
It's kind of back to September, isn't it?
It is.
And she has been taking some very interesting photographs. Became conscious of the immigrant in art. And has had some shows. Would you tell me where you have shown your work while you've been in Portland? You haven't been here very long, have you?
No, I've been here just over a year.
And where did you show your work?
Well, I used to work at the Starbucks off of 19th and Hawthorne, and I've shown there twice. And then as well as I just had work up in C-Bar, which is a quite lovely establishment off of Southeast Gladstone. Beautiful environment and great people, and they were lucky enough, and it was nice enough of them to let me, I was lucky enough to show my stuff there for the month of April.
Good. Okay, now you have a gentle voice, so you'll need to move just a little bit closer.
Sounds good.
That is good. And you graduated from a college in Maryland?
Yes, I went to Towson University. It's in Baltimore, Maryland.
What did you study there?
Fine art photography.
What brought you west?
I moved to Albuquerque just after graduating from college, and then my boyfriend and I went to Europe to teach English as a foreign language.
Uh-huh.
And from there, being in the Czech Republic in the middle of the winter, decided it was quite cold and rainy, and chose to move to Portland.
Okay. Well, so. I want to thank you very much for coming this morning. And I lost my two people that I had signed up who couldn't come at the last minute. And so I corralled Kelly through Jeremy.
Yes.
And Jeremy at the Woolley Gallery. Got Kelly for me, and she's here this morning out of the kindness of her heart, let's say. And she tells me that she became interested in taking pictures of immigrants. How did that happen?
Just recently I found myself being more politically aware of what was going on around me. I've been without a television and haven't been paying much attention to mainstream media for at least 2 years now, and kind of found myself with an awakened social consciousness, just paying attention to the way people are treating other people in society.
Good. Now, describe what some of the interesting work that you've done, and maybe tell us a little bit about the Rake Gallery and how it was conceived and what kind of work they're going to show there. And just tell us about yourself, Kelly Pennington.
Sounds great. At Rake this month, there's a show called Skin, and it's featuring Garrett Price, Rio Ren, and installations by Incident Design. The opening's tonight, and
The opening is tonight.
It is, from 7 to 10.
Okay.
And Rake is located off of Northwest 6 between Everett and Flanders, so it will be a nice first Thursday event to attend.
So it's down in the Pearl District,
mm-hmm.
and located between 6th and 9th?
No, located, building? Well, located on 6th.
On 6th,
between
okay.
Everett and Flanders.
Between Everett and Flanders, okay.
The exact address is... 325.
And it is a gallery all by itself tucked in there? Or
no, it's right off the bus route, and it's located with several other galleries right along that
route. So it's in the gallery row, kind of, isn't it?
Exactly.
Tucked in there next to PDX, between PDX and the Laura Russo Gallery.
Yeah, those are in...
Not Laura Russo.
In the vicinity.
Elizabeth Leach.
In, yes,
yeah.
They're nearby.
Yes.
Not exactly right next to, but nearby.
In there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Continue with your story. I want the story of the life of Kelly Pennington.
I started having these ideas about taking photographs of the May Day rallies. Just before they were coming up, there was a lot of voices that I was hearing about, you know, how many people would march and would they be peaceful. And I decided to attend, and I shot over 20 rolls of film, but I tend to shoot a lot, so that's not saying much for me. And spent basically the whole day downtown walking and marching and smiling and chanting and just being a part of a very peaceful protest. What I chose to do in affiliation with that was to, for my art, was to go out and do a series of population portraits, where I went out and took pictures of anyone that would pose in front of the camera. And I asked them their age, their race, their ethnicity, being their heritage, and what generation American they were. This was to kind of show the effect of the trickle-down of the first few waves of immigration that we did have within America. For me, for example, I'm an American, and I'm a fourth or fifth generation American, but I'm a mutt. I'm like eight
You're
or nine.
Irish, I can, German, French.
French, English, Irish, Russian, Ukrainian, American, Indian, Scottish. I'm sure we could get to
this
toes if we wanted to, yeah.
There are a lot of us around.
Yeah.
And although we're beginning to look scarcer now that we have the influx of Mexicans and other Asians,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of fascinating-looking people are moving into this territory.
Right. I think it's a little bit more noticeable on the West Coast.
Not only fascinating looking, but fascinating in their ways of living.
Right, and just it's great to be an American because you have those influxes of other cultures that and other people that want to come to be a part of America. And so you have everyone joining in, you know, the stereotypical melting pot of what we are.
Uh-huh.
And everybody puts a little bit in, so...
So that's what you're doing right now, is taking these beautiful pictures of flags and people.
Yes, and then I'm hoping to be involved with a Multnomah County. At some level, they're offering a citizenship class for individuals who are becoming naturalized. And I'm hoping to do a photographic essay on how those people, after 3 to 5 years is what it takes for people who are married, it's 3 years, and people who are not, it's five. They have to live here, and then they go through the naturalization process. I'm hoping to take photographs and get to know a couple of individuals and families who are actually moving and going through the process of legally becoming citizens.
Are you speaking any other languages?
No, I'm learning Spanish and Italian, but I'm
somebody
not.
Is teaching you?
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your family? Do you have family here or back east?
All of my family's back east. My sister lives in Albuquerque. She goes to the University of New Mexico. But my mom and dad are school teachers. My dad's a retired school teacher in Maryland.
I see. And are they knowing that you are now trying to get into the art world?
Yeah, they've been painfully aware for a very long time.
That's good. Are they for ya or again ya?
They're for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what kind of paraphernalia you use, what kind of cameras and setups for taking pictures. There's a large group of people who like to know all the technicals.
Right. I'm very traditional. While I have minor fascinations with digital, I still love the rich, velvety texture of film. And so I'm shooting with a Nikon single lens reflex. Traditionally use a 28mm lens. And for the portrait section of this project, I purchased a Calumet 4x5, which some people might say wasn't the wisest idea in our declining film market, but I'm absolutely in love with it. It's amazing. Hopefully at the end, right now these portraits are being shown 8x10 at the Rake Gallery for this month.
At the Rake, R-A-K-E,
mm-hmm. It's
Gallery.
Rakeart.org is the web address if anyone wants to look it up. But they're being shown 8x10, and in the end I'm hoping to blow them up. I'm hoping to pick several and blow them up 20x24, and then I'm hoping to have, you know, just a massive amount of these portraits. So to do kind of rows of the 8x10s as in headshots, and then what we're doing is we're listing people's answers to the questions that I mentioned to you earlier, race, nationality, heritage.
Mm-hmm.
We're listing those underneath, so nobody's name goes with them. It's just kind of what it is that they're saying about themselves as far as their race, heritage, and generation of American. And so the idea in the end will, because it's still a work in progress, the idea in the end is to have kind of this massive amount of population portraits to show just how similar, you know, if you're looking at a wall of people and you see three guys who are about the same age, and then you go and you read underneath of them and you can see that while they look very similar, they all have very different but diverse ethnic backgrounds. And while they might all look American, maybe only one of them is American, and several of them are visiting citizens from other countries, or a few of them are becoming naturalized, and maybe a few of them don't want to live here, and they want to go home, and there you just happen to catch them on the street one day while they're touring Portland. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, I would think it would be interesting. And people are pretty nice about having their pictures taken. Have you ever had any problems with people that didn't want to be photographed?
I don't. I only take pictures of people that want to be photographed.
Uh-huh.
It's a very interesting a moment between a photographer and a sitter when somebody actually sits down in front of your 4x5 camera and you actually get to capture their spirit for a moment. And it's a really great, also, it's a great meeting place for conversation about this project in general, because when you're sitting down with someone and you're asking them these questions, you're finding out about them and their family, just like you were doing with me earlier.
Uh-huh.
I'm finding out where they came from. I've talked mm-hmm. to some people who are descendants of slaves, some people who know exactly where their families, when they came over from Germany, where they moved to, and they know people care a lot about their heritage, and family means a lot to a lot of people,
yeah.
Whether we wear it on our sleeve every day or not. And so when you actually engage people about their family history, I mean, they just, people light up when you start to talk about their family and
home.
Where they came from.
It's home.
Yeah.
Roots are very important. And, you know, on the way to Cebu on Ankeny Street, there's always a group of Mexican people who are waiting to be picked up and taken out to the fields.
Day laborers, yes.
Yeah, day laborers. Have you seen them?
I have.
They're a very colorful bunch.
Yes.
And they, I'm sure, work very, very hard. They look like hard workers, and they're always looking for jobs. And they're getting to know me because I drive through there very frequently, drive drive through, and they all, now they wave to me. A lot of them would like to be picked up and taken out to a field or something.
Yeah, they're very dedicated. They're there every day, whether they get picked up or not.
They really, really want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they do very good work, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking, I could see you down there just having a ball, talking to those people and taking pictures of them.
Yeah, it's actually been a... There's three facets to this work in progress so far, and the day laborers as well as the work offices, you know, where they kind of, what's it called? Where people come in and then temp agencies, where people come in and they register to be workers as well.
Yeah.
A different form of day laboring is, I'm interested in going to those locations as well and talking to individuals who are trying to get work and work and support their families.
I see. Now, do you have a dark room and produce your own photos, or do you take those to somebody else to do?
Right now, with this work, because the majority of it is color, color darkrooms are starting to be a thing of the past, what I'm doing is scanning my negatives, and I am... going to UDevelop, which is off of Barber, and they have a lovely Fuji Chromira print where you can, if you do the work yourself, you can do what's called a plug-and-play, where you've gone in and you've touched up all your images yourself, and then they print them out for you. But they also have a color darkroom, and I actually am scheduled to go in there tomorrow and print some of this work for myself as well. So,
good for you.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of courage to do what you've done. And I can't help but be proud of you.
Thank you.
Because I don't know if I could have done that, if I could do that myself, to come all the way from the East Coast.
The nerve-wracking part is I have two lectures coming up this month at Rake on... Sunday the 18th, one at 3 and one at 6, where I'll be talking more about these projects in a heartfelt manner. And I welcome anyone to come out that wants to.
Okay.
But, yes, it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
That is nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It makes me scared to death already for you. But you'll be fine.
Thank you.
I'm sure. And I think we should have a little station ID here this morning. We're talking to Kelly Pennington, and this is 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM in the Columbia Gorge, and 100.7 FM in the Willamette Valley. And this is Judy Bernard and Art Focus, and as I said before, we are talking to Kelly Pennington, who is showing at the Rake Gallery, and The Immigrant in Art is the name of that show, right? Is that show happening now, or is it going to happen? Is that what...
The show that's happening now is called... It's a group show at Rake. It's called Skin, and my portion of that show is called Breathing Free Air, which is referencing the fact that we're all... Everyone that was taken photographs of is currently in the States. They're in America, so... we're the land of the free, so it's referencing the fact that we're all allowed to voice our opinions, whether we're legal citizens or not.
Okay, and I would like to say that at the last minute yesterday, due to an emergency situation, my printmakers could not come, and so I had to dash around, and that's how I found this lovely photographer who's with me this morning, through Jeremy at the Wonder Gallery. He suggested that I call Kelly Pennington, and here she is. And I thank you very much for coming this morning, Kelly.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
And what was the first show you had? Was that in Starbucks? How does a person get work up in a place like Starbucks?
Oh, I got it up there because I worked there, but I've been showing for quite some time.
That's a good way to get work up.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Get a job.
It happens at the Cup and Saucer a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think it's it's services rendered for early mornings.
Oh, sure.
So, but I've been showing, I've actually produced several shows back east when I was in college, and have been showing ever since I was in college. It just happened that it was the first place that I could kind of wet my feet here in Portland, which isn't bad because it was a great location right off of Hawthorne.
Well, I noticed the more and more that cafes and restaurants are showing art on the walls, and it does dress up and make a eatery more interesting to have something on the walls. And there's some very fine artists who started showing work that way.
Right.
And you just have to take the bull by the horns, don't you?
Yeah, you got to go out and solicit.
You
got to
sell yourself. Really do.
Ask how long the wait list is. See if you can get on.
Uh-huh.
And it's really great because, you know, it changes the ambiance of a place. And it does. It, when it rotates like that, it's really great because you frequent a place and you love the people that are there and the services that they provide, and then they're finding great art to hang up on the wall, and it can make your day.
Well, Stumptown has art on the walls.
Yeah.
And it changes regularly, and they get some very interesting stuff up there. Some of it is terrible, but that's okay. I think it would just be a sort of a corral if it didn't have some art on the wall in Stumptown. It dresses it up considerably. The one that I'm thinking of is on Belmont Street. It's a very popular restaurant.
Right.
And they always have some very worthwhile art in there. Mm-hmm. It's not always very good, but it's something to you can discuss.
Right. Yeah, and it's good for
somewhat
those artists.
Controversial.
It's good for those artists to be able to get the feedback, the constructive criticism that they wouldn't be getting if their art wasn't being hung up on a wall or being shown, and having their art up and being able to take their friends and being able to sit down and listen to what other people are saying about their artwork, I'm sure helps them tremendously.
Yes, it does. It's a good thing. Well, now, what's happening next? I am interested in your life. I mean, what are you doing with in connection with Sedition, for instance,
the
new magazine that's coming out?
I am a photographer for them, and they're having their Alien and Sedition show at the Mark Woolley and the Wonder Ballroom this month. They're also having a fashion show at Rake, and I believe that the magazine should be coming off the presses any day now.
Very soon.
I think
it's, in fact, I believe it's tomorrow that the big opening is for, or it might be tonight.
Yeah,
let's check that out.
Because the party is
we're going to read
tomorrow
some cards here
at the Wonder Ballroom from 6 to 9, and the first Thursday opening at the Mark Woolley location is tonight from 6 to 9.
Okay. And so the art world is really wheeling, there's a lot of very exciting work on display at this point in time, just about everywhere. And Damali Io is having a show called Yarn, and that's an animated competition of American national identity. There's a lot of political art lately, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's we're at a point when artists should realize that their voices are heard and that they can combine their political voices with their artistic voices and thereby actually have a positive effect and be a part of the debates that are going on right now within our American society, as well as internationally and abroad. Jeremy and the artist at Rake just got back from a period of time in China, and it's great to be able to reach out to other artists of other nationalities and from other countries.
Have you ever traveled?
Yes.
Where have you been?
I
told me, but I forgot.
Yes, I went to Europe for a bit and spent some time in the Czech Republic.
Okay. What were you photographing all the time? Have you got photographs to show from that?
Very little, actually. I had just come, when I graduated college, I spent a year. I didn't want to stop taking photographs as many people do when they major in something like I did in college. I made sure to not let go of my camera and took photos for about a year straight. And so when I went to Europe, I was still photographing, but not as heavily as I had been. So I have a few roles, but by no means as many as I do from my stay in Albuquerque. I think I shot over 2,000 rolls of film.
Boy,
yeah.
The selection process is very difficult, isn't it? I would think it would be.
Yeah.
What you're going to show.
Yes.
And do you ever get any help from somebody? Does somebody help you with that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
My boyfriend Julian is a great
Julian.
Yeah, companion, and he's amazing at telling me whether something means a lot to me because I care a lot about the people in the photograph, and whether or not it'll mean a lot to other people. It's one of the issues I think with being a photographer is being fine art. And photojournalism
yes.
versus snapshots and personal family portraits.
That's very interesting. Say that again.
So
I want to take that in a little bit more.
Well, for me, I find that it's very where everything overlaps, where fine art, photojournalism overlap with family photos and snapshots is where.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I work.
The matter of choice.
Exactly.
And discrimination comes mm-hmm. in there.
And it's hard because in a lot of the photographs that I take, I care very deeply for my subjects as well as the situations in which I'm photographing. And then I have to be able to step back and try
yes.
and see it through somebody else's eyes and see whether or not I would connect with it if I had no understanding of the situation. If I was to just walk up to it in a gallery on a wall, would I feel as deeply for it as I do because I took it?
Yeah. Good. Oh, it's a terrific job, and it's very difficult and trying from time to time, isn't it?
It is.
But you're lucky that you have this good helper person.
Oh, very, very lucky.
And is he an artist?
He is. He's a sculptor.
Okay.
Yes.
Is he showing work here?
He actually just showed in New Mexico, and he is going to be going to PNCA in the fall. And
oh, good.
Hopefully we'll be finding a space for him to show at very soon.
Well, I'm very glad that the two of you are here.
Yeah. Well, thank
you. And you'll have to come back again. And when things go a little further along,
you start delighted.
Showing work, and we'll get him, too. He probably should have come this morning, too.
I should have pulled him out of bed.
That would have been that would have been good. We're getting fairly close to time, but we still have about 5 minutes. So what should we do, tap dance?
Well, if I could just mention one more time.
2 minutes, she says. So my watch is always wrong.
The lectures on June 18th at 3 and at 6. And if anyone's interested, I'm going to bring my camera down and I'll be taking pictures of people as well. So if anyone wants to be a part of this ongoing work and have me take portraits of them or just be a part of what it is that I'm trying to do, just a social consciousness of immigrants past, present, and future. So it would be great to hear individual experiences on immigration as well as stories from people about their family history, and to just have people come down and what I'm really hoping to do is just be a part of the ongoing debate that's happening right now, and I think that it's amazing for artists to be a part and actually help with social change.
Okay, Kelly, you've been just a gem this morning.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you came. We've been talking to Kelly Pennington, who is a photographer and is now interested in making photography with the immigrant in art. And that's a quotation from Kelly's own book, as it were. And so thanks again, Kelly. I'm awfully pleased to have met you.
Thank you so very much.
I'm glad to welcome you to the art world.
Thank you. It was
a
pleasure.
And I'll be looking for you, and I hope you'll come on again with your friend, and we'll discuss this some more.
Great.
And this is Julie Bernard, and this has been Art Focus, and thank you, Emily.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style, and I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne.
And that is that almost concludes the Thursday morning radio zine for KBOO Portland for Thursday, June 1st, my son Sean's birthday. Happy birthday, Sean. Coming up next on Democracy Now!, it's a focus on the politics of AIDS and a look at the meaning of the re-election of Colombian President Uribe. Stay tuned for that.